Welcome back to Run the List, a medical education podcast in partnership with McGraw-Hill Medical. Our hosts are Dr. Naveen Kumar, Dr. Walker Redd, Dr. Emily Gutowski, Dr. Joy Tsao, and myself, Blake Smith. As a quick disclaimer, this podcast is meant for informational and educational purposes only and should not be understood as medical advice under any circumstances. I'm really excited to be talking with Dr. Eli Miloslavsky, an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and an attending physician in rheumatology at the Massachusetts General Hospital. He's the co-director of the Vasculitis and Glomerulonephritis Center at MGH, has been involved in systemic vasculitis clinical trials, and has a strong interest in medical education. In this role, he actually taught one of our RTL core members, Joyce, during her internal medicine sub-I. We're really quite lucky to be talking to such a leader in rheumatology. Thank you so much, Dr. Miloslavsky, for joining us on Run the List.
So great to be here, Blake. Thanks.
Great. So let's get started. Could you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and your path to becoming a rheumatologist?
Yeah, so I'm a rheumatologist at MGH, and I'm about 6 years out of training. And I spent about half my time seeing patients, and then the other half is spent primarily in medical education, although a small part of that is involved in clinical research in vasculitis as well.
Great. And what first interested you in rheumatology?
Yeah, so I took a little bit of a winding career path. It actually took me 5 years to decide that I wanted to do medicine. And then once I got to medical school, I was thinking that I would go into emergency medicine. And it wasn't until my last year that I decided to go into internal medicine. And then within internal medicine, I thought I was going to do pulmonary critical care, but actually ended up doing rheumatology in the end. And so when I think back about how I got to where I am now, I think the initial things that drew me to rheumatology is I was one of these students and one of these residents that really, you know, I liked all of the rotations and I really liked learning about all of the organ systems. So I really wanted a field in which you needed to know about all the organ systems, where all the organ systems were potentially affected. And so rheumatology was one of those few fields. And in addition, I really liked puzzles. You know, I liked patient presentations that were unclear. I liked rare diseases. And so I found that in rheumatology, it's really a field where you have to put together the history, the physical, the labs, and the imaging, and you know, put them all together and try to solve the puzzle, which is often not so clear. So those were the initial things that drew me into rheumatology.
Yeah, I really like that description of solving kind of the puzzle to really put the picture together for these patients, and your description of having a sense of just all of the organ systems that may be affected in any given rheumatologic case. So could you talk about systemic vasculitis and kind of in its name, and that it's systemic in nature, you know, going back to what you were talking about in your answer, and why you've been interested in that clinically as a subspecialty?
Yeah. So, you know, going through residency, I realized that I liked sick patients and I liked high stakes situations. And, you know, rheumatology is a field that generally there's not a ton of acuity. People can get pretty sick, but, you know, it can take some time. But of all of our diseases, people get the most acutely ill within vasculitis. It affects all organ systems and it's often a little bit tricky to diagnose. And then what I found really gratifying is that we have really good treatments. And so patients are really sick, but with treatment, they could get much better and really regain their old lives back. And going through that experience with patients is really just incredibly gratifying. So those are the things that attracted me to vasculitis within the field.
Right, right. Would you, you know, we just honed in on vasculitis for a bit. Would you be able to describe kind of rheumatology from a big picture view and what the training path is like to becoming a rheumatologist?
Yeah, so to be a rheumatologist, you first have to train in internal medicine. So that's 3 years of internal medicine residency, and that's followed by a fellowship that's either 2 years for those that are looking to mainly do clinical practice or 3 years for those interested in staying in academics and or having research as a significant part of their careers. I did a 3-year fellowship that I split between clinical research and training in medical education.
Great. And just rheumatology at large, what are some other career paths that rheumatologists might have or other focuses, whether it's at an academic center or not?
Yeah. So rheumatology is such a varied path, and I think it could be adapted to so many interests. So within the clinical part of rheumatology, there are some people that are really interested in musculoskeletal disease. They like sports medicine, they're interested in kind of inflammatory joint disease and tendinopathy, et cetera. And those physicians often choose to get trained in musculoskeletal ultrasound. So they kind of have that radiology piece of their career. And they also do a lot of procedures with ultrasound guidance. So that's something that you can concentrate in as a rheumatologist, or you could lean more towards systemic disease, like connective tissue diseases such as lupus or vasculitis, like I do. If you're, you could get very specialized. So for example, for physicians that are doing a lot of research, they might have a clinic where they're really only concentrating on the one disease they're doing research in. But I would say that that's a rarity. And most rheumatologists are really general rheumatologists and are comfortable treating all conditions. And they might be expert in musculoskeletal ultrasound as well. So what I really appreciate about rheumatology is that we are still a field that's very general. And I think to be a good rheumatologist, it helps to be a generalist. And so it's a field where specialization into one or two diseases is still the exception rather than the norm, as it is in some other fields, especially within academic medicine.
Wow. Yeah, that's really unique and interesting to hear. As I do these career episodes in our different organ series, I always learn something new about these specialties. And so, hearing you talk about rheumatology, I could tell that you really enjoy the field and it's infectious. So maybe could you talk about what you do love about rheumatology as a field and maybe what you don't love as much?
Yeah. I alluded to the couple of things that kind of drew me in, that general medicine, puzzles, organ systems. But, I think once you get into a field, you learn to appreciate so many things that you really didn't appreciate as much before. And I think that's true of any field, not just rheumatology. But I think for me, I still love the things that drew me into the field, but there are so many more things that I discovered that are so important to me. So for example, I love getting to know a patient and just traveling through their, disease journey with them, getting to know them over time.
Right.
Actually, I was picking between infectious disease and rheumatology in the end. And, I chose rheumatology for that longitudinal care aspect. Rheumatology patients are really nice. It's often like something that kind of happened to them that, they didn't bring on themselves. And it's sometimes their main and primary medical problem. And I love both of those aspects. We have great treatments. And so almost everyone that comes into my office, I feel like I could get them feeling much better and often completely normal. And I think that's something that is really, really gratifying. And I think the last thing I will say is, I probably made the mistake of not thinking about lifestyle so much when I was making the choice of subspecialty. And that's because I was in a different stage of life, in my late 20s, early 30s, lifestyle was just not as critical for me.
Right.
But now I'm in my 40s, I have two young children and kind of, being there for my family and having that time with them is so important. And rheumatology is just a really, really great specialty in terms of lifestyle. And in terms of what I don't love so much, I think it's such an interesting thing because I think there's something in every specialty that you don't love or that you worry you won't love. And I think for me, that was like joint disease. That's not something that I was that interested in. I was really interested in sort of systemic disease, systemic inflammation. But now that I've been a practicing rheumatologist for a while, I've actually gotten pretty good at joints. And I now like that part of it because it's something that I know how to do and I feel like I could help people and that's gratifying. And so I think there are some things about specialties that you won't like and you should really pay attention to that. But then there are maybe other things that if you were more comfortable with knowing what to do, you would start to like or at least be neutral about it. And I think that's definitely been the case for me in terms of like dealing with pain and enjoying symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great message about learning as a student and personal growth and really just embracing the field that you choose, given that, there are so many different subspecialties or areas within each field. And for us to kind of think that, as a practicing physician in the field, I have to love every single condition, maybe isn't always the case. And just over time, how that changes is a really great perspective. Maybe you could talk to us about how the field of rheumatology has evolved in maybe the last 5 or 10 years and how you see the field changing in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the great parts about rheumatology is that the field has evolved so much, but there's so much more to go. You know, I think in terms of treatment, just in the last 5 years, we've seen an explosion of new biologics, new small molecules, really effective treatments that we didn't have previously. And I think that trend is going to not only continue, but probably accelerate. And so having a lot of treatment options is really wonderful because you feel like you can always do something for a patient. But we also have a lot of growth to do in terms of diagnostics. You know, I think one of the unique things about rheumatology is our testing is not that great. I think from my perspective, as someone with some experience now, that really makes it great. Like, rheumatology is an art. It's not cookie cutter diagnostics. And you really have to use history, physical, labs, imaging, your experience to kind of make the best assessment of what's going on. I actually found, as an aside, I found that challenging as a trainee. It was actually a bit of a negative because as a trainee, I just wanted to know that I was doing the right thing, you know?
Right.
But now it's really a plus. But I do think that our diagnostics will get much better. We already have made headway just in the last 5 years. And I think that's going to continue. So there's a lot of work to be done, both from research and also just changing clinical practice based on new developments.
Yeah, that's super interesting to hear because, you know, when we ask this question in other organ systems, it's usually focused on the treatment aspect. But I kind of like your answer there. And of course, you know, treatment will always improve in any medical specialty, but really diagnostics is kind of both the mainstay of clinical practice, but in rheumatology, it's so important. You know, I identify with what you just said as a medical student and as a trainee. I mean, I really get confused sometimes when I see these antibodies that are maybe not as specific or are in some connective tissue diseases and others or autoimmune diseases. And so it's a bit puzzling for me in my stage of training. And so, you know, future medical students might have better diagnostics, better antibody tests to aid them in their learning, I guess is the message that I'm going for here.
Totally. And if I could actually piggyback of what you said, I think that's why I think rheumatology is not a big field, but, you know, I think a lot of people don't know about it because there's just not a ton of exposure. And when the exposure you have is these lists of symptoms and lists of antibodies, that's like hard to make heads or tails of, you know, you're obviously not going to like choose the field. And so I think for those that are kind of really interested in longitudinal care puzzles, I would really encourage you to like do an elective to try it on for size, because I think what you learn about it in medical school is, you know, doesn't necessarily make you appreciate the field the way it is, if that makes sense.
That is, yeah, that's such a great point. And like you said, you know, the medical field, especially in preclinical curriculums, aren't defined by like tables of antibody lists and symptoms. Really, it's kind of, as you were just saying, these longitudinal relationships and the ability to really make a difference for patients with the treatments that we even have today. Could you go back, and this is going to be a question about you specifically. What is your breakdown between your academic activities, clinical practice, your medical education, and teaching?
Yeah, so it's about half-half in terms of clinical practice and then the academic piece, which at this point is mostly education, and that's split into teaching, leadership positions, and some medical education research. Earlier on in my career, it was a little bit more split in terms of the academic piece was like half vasculitis research and half medical education. But I got to say, I love that split. I think, you know, 50% clinical allows me to feel like I have expertise and I'm continuing to grow, but also like I don't feel like I'm coming close to burning out. Like I love going to clinic. It's fun. but that's because it varies with the other things I'm doing. And I feel like being involved in medical education, I mean, it's just such a gratifying experience to be part of other people's growths and careers and thinking about how you can help them achieve their goals or how you can help them learn a concept. And I think it just also keeps you fresh and informs your clinical practice too. So I think it's just like, I love what I do and feel very lucky to be doing it.
I love that answer. And actually, it's really interesting because we have Joyce on our team who, when we were talking about rheumatology as a topic that we want to cover, right off the bat, she mentioned your name as someone who has, quote unquote, a great approach to joint disease. And, you know, just like you said, when you have someone who's a medical educator who has a great approach to teaching something, it really sticks with you. And so I'm glad that we have you here to both teach that and talk about rheumatology as a career, because you've certainly made an influence on Run the List and hopefully our listeners in this organ series. So I know you said that you maybe do less of your academic activities now, but I know that, and this is what I alluded to in the beginning, that 10 years ago or so, you were involved in a pretty important clinical trial using rituximab in ANCA-associated vasculitis, the RAVE trial. And that's somewhat changed the course of treatment for this disease. So because it's such a unique experience, would you be able to describe for our listeners what this experience was like and what it's taught you for your current or future trial work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so it was a great experience. So with the RAVE trial, I was actually involved on the tail end, which was not in trial design or patient enrollment, but really with analyzing trial data to try to answer some questions. That was really gratifying because you feel like you could really influence how patients are treated, you know, across the world and bring something new to the field, which is really, really gratifying. And I also just enjoyed the day-to-day work of it, which was really sort of, you know, analyzing data and writing papers. But since then, I've been involved in and led some smaller clinical trials. And I think it's really fun in terms of a couple of aspects. So I think designing a trial is a really fascinating, fun, and challenging experience of how you can work often with a pharmaceutical company to like answer a question.
Right.
I think as someone who can enroll patients in a clinical trial, it's great to be able to offer your patients something cutting edge therapy they may not have access to otherwise, and also be a critical part of answering the question through a trial. And then on the data side, after the trial closes, sort of answering questions, but also coming up with additional questions that the data you've collected can answer. So I think it's a wonderful way to be involved in research that you can marry to patient care, as opposed to basic science research, which is, you know, kind of related to the to patient care, but is a little bit more removed, a little bit more separate.
Yeah, that's such a great way to look at it, especially from the multiple angles that you just kind of mentioned. So why don't we close? This has been so great to hear your answers, and I'm excited for your answer to this next question, which is, what do you wish you knew as a medical student regarding choosing a future career, whether it's rheumatology, pulmonology, or anything?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question and one that's so hard to answer. And the reason is, I think you see things different as a medical student than you do as a fellow, than you do as an attending, just because your life, your preferences, and your outlooks change. Just like for many of you who are listening, you probably didn't see medical school when you were thinking about going to medical school quite like you see it now. And there are things that you appreciated about it now that you could not have foreseen then. So having that huge disclaimer, what I would say is I would focus more on a couple of things. So I think I focused a ton on the intellectual aspect of the field, which I think is critical. I think if it doesn't make you intellectually stimulated, curious, it's probably not something you should be picking. But I would also look at a couple of other things. One I already alluded to, which is lifestyle. I think it's critical, especially if you're considering having a family and the balance between work and your life outside of work. I think it's a really important thing to consider. Not to say that that should be the only factor, but should definitely be one of the factors. And I would also look at the other people who are in that specialty and ask, are these like my people? You know, are these the people that I want to work with, learn from, be like? I think that's kind of a frame that I didn't really look at specialties in, that I lucked out with rheum, because rheumatologists are definitely my people, but something that I wish I was a little bit more explicit about.
Yeah, I really love that last bit. And sounds like there might be room for other future medical students. Sorry, I had to put that in there. So this has been such a fun conversation, Dr. Miloslavsky, and this kind of makes me want to be a rheumatologist. But I have, you know, many years ahead. but it's been so helpful to learn from you and your journey to become a rheumatologist and do the things that you're doing now, especially with medical education, you know, being that this is a medical education podcast. So thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Run the List.
Blake, thanks so much for having me.
Great.